The general outline of Acts is derived from Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now you have two future tenses there, which are predictive of what is going to take place. Neither one is a commandment, although some men like to preach the second one as a commandment. It just doesn't fit the context. But ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The witness of the disciples is found in Jerusalem is found in 1:1 through 7:60. Then in Judea and Samaria in 8:1 through 9:31, and then to the uttermost part of the earth in 9:32 through 28:31, which begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, followed by the planting of the church in Antioch and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death. Saul, or Paul's missionary journey with Barnabas, is recorded in 13:1 through 14:28. It's followed by the council at Jerusalem in 15:1 through 35. Then Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas, occurs in 15:36 to 18:22. And his third missionary journey is reported in 18:23 through 21:26. That's how far we have gotten thus far. And his arrest and trials are found in 21:27, where we begin today, through 26:32, and are followed by his voyage to Rome. Rome is the uttermost part, singular, uttermost part of the earth back in 1:8. And his shipwreck and his house arrest and witness to the Jews in Rome. We've now seen Paul's third missionary journey. His third missionary journey took him through Galatia and Phrygia, which are in modern-day Turkey. Meanwhile, the ministry of Apollos took place. Paul's travels eventually took him to Ephesus, which is in western Turkey, where he spent 2 to 3 years. To Macedonia, which is northern Greece, to Greece or southern Greece, Achaia, back to Macedonia, to Philippi, which is a part of Macedonia, and then to Troas, which is on the western edge of Turkey. So he crossed the Aegean Sea to Assos, to Mytilene, opposite Chios, Samos, and Trogyllium, and Miletus, to Kos, Rhodes, and Patara, all of which are various seaports in southwestern Turkey. Then he went to Tyre, to Ptolemais, and to Caesarea, all of which are on the eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, and then finally to Jerusalem. With the completion of this third missionary journey and his meeting with James and the elders of the church in Jerusalem, we now begin Paul's arrest and trials. Paul's arrest and trials begin with his being assaulted by unsaved Jews and rescued by the Romans. He then asked to address the mob. After Paul's request was approved, he defended himself before the mob. His defense was followed by the mob's angry response to his defense. As the Roman soldiers were preparing to scourge him, Paul identified himself as a Roman citizen. Next, Paul defended himself before the Sanhedrin. In 23:11, the Lord assured Paul that he will testify about him in Rome. But it's going to be about 4 years before he gets to Rome. This assurance was followed by a plot to kill Paul, which was exposed by Paul's nephew. That night, Paul was transferred to Felix in Caesarea. Paul subsequently defended himself before Felix and then before Festus. After Festus met with Agrippa, Paul was brought before Agrippa and defended himself before Agrippa. Now, as we continue our study in Acts 21 in this service, we see in Acts 21 verses 27 through 36 that Paul was assaulted by the Jews and subsequently rescued by the Romans. You need to understand that by going to Jerusalem with the collection for the impoverished saints in Judea, Paul was doing exactly what God had led him to do. He was right where God wanted him to be and doing what God wanted him to be doing. His meeting with James and the elders of the church at Jerusalem, during which he undoubtedly presented the collection he had taken to Jerusalem, was also consistent with God's will. It is something God led him to do. It was also God's will that, at the request of James and the elders of the church at Jerusalem, that Paul go to the temple and pay the expenses of four Jewish men in order to demonstrate that the things which had been said regarding him were false, and what would happen to Paul while he was in the temple would also be God's will for Paul. Consistent with prophecies that Paul would encounter trouble in Jerusalem, when the 7 days of the purification of Paul and the four Jewish men were nearly over, unsaved Jews from Asia Minor, that would be in Western Turkey, observed Paul in the temple and stirred up the people and seized him. They called for help from others and falsely claimed that Paul taught everybody everywhere against the Jewish people, against the law, and against the temple, and that Paul had brought uncircumcised Gentiles into the temple, thereby polluting it. They had seen Paul in Jerusalem with Trophimus and falsely assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was stirred up and Paul was dragged out of the temple and the doors were shut. While they were attempting to kill Paul, the chief captain of the Roman soldiers learned that a riot had started. So he took many soldiers and rescued Paul from those who were beating him. The chief captain had Paul bound with two chains and demanded from the mob who he was and what he had done. When he, meaning the chief captain, was unable to learn from the mob who Paul was or what he had done, he commanded that Paul be carried into the headquarters of the Roman troops. When Paul came to the steps, he had to be carried by the Roman soldiers because of the violence of the mob, who were screaming that he should be taken away and killed. You have to understand, all of this entire experience Paul was going through was in the will of God for Paul. In verse 27, we see that when the 7 days of purification for Paul and the four Jewish men were nearly over, unsaved Jews from Asia Minor, by the way, Asia Minor's in western Turkey, and Ephesus is part of it. Observed Paul in the temple. Do you suppose they knew Paul from his 2 years or 3 years in Ephesus? Could be. They stirred up the people and seized him. Again, it should be noted that at this time, Paul was right in the center of God's will, right where God wanted him to be and what God wanted him to be doing. Now, it seems to me that every one of us this morning is right here in this building at this time, right where God wants us to be also. You'd be surprised at where God will put you. And you may find some difficulty. It doesn't mean you necessarily did anything wrong. It might be that God is using that somehow in your life or in somebody else's life for his honor and glory. Don't get into this, I could have or I should have. Be careful. If God is directing your life, he's already directed you right here this morning to go through this text with me. Acts 21:27 says, "And when the 7 days were almost ended," this is the days of purification, Paul was going through with these four Jewish men who were too poor to pay the expenses that would be required when the days of purification were over. So they're getting close to the end of this 7 day period. The Jews which were of Asia, that's Asia Minor, that's where Ephesus is located, when they saw him, they saw Paul in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Why did they do that? Well, they apparently knew him, probably from Ephesus. They stirred up the people and they laid hands on him. Now, they weren't ordaining him to the ministry. They were going to kill him. And transitions to what happened next in the sense of now or then. When the 7 days were almost ended, suggests when the 7 days were about to come to an end. The Jews which were of Asia, is the Jews from Asia, or from Asia Minor, perhaps from Ephesus. When they saw him in the temple, is used in conjunction with stirred up, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of stirred up. So they saw him, and then they stirred up the crowd. It may be understood in the sense of they saw him in the temple It may be understood in the sense of they saw him in the temple. It may also be understood in the sense of after they saw him in the temple, or in the sense of because they saw him in the temple. All three of those would be possible translations and would convey the meaning. Stirred up all the people as they were, or they began stirring up or inciting all the crowd. The tense of stirred up indicates ongoing action in past time. Once they started, they just kept stirring up the crowd. And they laid hands on him. Suggests that they laid hands on him, meaning on Paul, and implies violently. They called for help from others and falsely claimed, it wasn't true, but they claimed that Paul taught everybody everywhere against the Jewish people, against the law, that's the Mosaic law, and against the temple, and that Paul had brought uncircumcised Gentiles, plural, into the temple, and thereby polluting it. They were crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people, meaning the Jewish people, and the law, meaning the Mosaic law which the Jews were following, and this place, meaning the temple. And further brought Greeks, plural, not just one, also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. Crying out is used in conjunction with laid in the previous verse. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of laid. It may be understood in the sense of "and they were" or "and they kept on crying out," shouting or yelling. Or it may be understood in the sense of "while they were" or "while they kept on crying out or shouting or yelling." Men of Israel, as Israelite men, help! Be or begin helping. Be or begin rendering assistance. Be or begin coming to our aid. This is the man. And it refers to Paul. Man is generic for human being. That teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. He's the one who is teaching all people everywhere against this people, meaning against the Jewish people, and against the law, and against this place, meaning against the temple. Well, if you'll recall back in Acts chapter 6, Stephen had been similarly accused in verses 11 through 14. Acts 6, 11 through 14 says, "Then they suborned," that's a word you probably haven't used too often this past week, unless you read this passage. "They secretly induced," or "they secretly instigated men." They instigated people to lie, which said, "We have heard him. We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Not true, by the way. "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council," meaning to the Sanhedrin, "and set up false witnesses, which said, this man," meaning Stephen, "ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place," meaning against the temple and the law. "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place." Jesus didn't say that. He said destroy this temple, meaning the temple of his body. But they understood him to mean this temple which Herod was rebuilding. "And shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And as you know, they took Stephen out eventually and stoned him to death. Now back to our text this morning. Paul was also accused of something else, "and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." "And further" suggests, and furthermore, "brought Greeks also into the temple." He brought Gentiles into the temple. Greeks has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, "Greeks or Gentiles he brought into the temple," meaning into the inner courts of the temple, which Gentiles were not permitted to enter on penalty of death. According to A.T. Robertson, the Roman authorities permitted any Gentile, including Roman citizens, to be put to death if he entered the court of Israel, an area to which Jewish men who were not priests or Levites were able to enter. "And hath polluted this holy places and has defiled," has made impure or has made common this holy place. Paul was being accused of having defiled the temple by bringing Gentiles into it, of course. These accusations were false, but they incited the mob. And God allowed them to be made. Remember, God is actually in control of this situation. Nothing is ever out of His control, including your life and mine. It may seem like it's out of control from time to time, but it's not, because God is in control. Don't forget that. I know it's easy to forget. We sometimes think we're in control. Think again. You really don't have the control you might think you have. But God has control. God had Paul right where He wanted him in spite of what was going to take place. They had seen Paul in Jerusalem, that's not the temple, with Trophimus. There's a new name for you. You could try that one out if you're going to have a baby soon. Falsely assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple, but they said Greeks or Gentiles, plural. As indicated by the parentheses, you notice verse 29 starts and ends with a parenthesis. It's a statement which does not advance the narrative. For they had seen him before in the city, with him in the city, Trophimus, an Ephesian. Interesting. Trophimus was from Ephesus. Did these people know Trophimus? My guess is they did. Whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. People make a lot of suppositions which are not accurate. Be careful that we don't do that too. For introduces an explanation of the reason Paul was accused of bringing Gentiles into the inner courts of the temple. They refers to the unsaved Jews from Asia who incited the crowd in verses 28 and 29, had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him, meaning with Paul, in the city, meaning in Jerusalem. Whom refers to Trophimus. They supposed, as they were supposing, they were thinking, they were believing, or they were considering, and what they were falsely assuming is that Paul had brought Trophimus into the temple. But Paul had not done this. The whole city was stirred up, and Paul was dragged out of the temple, and the doors were shut. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And all the city was moved, means, and the whole city, meaning all Jerusalem, was aroused. And the people ran together. It's literally, and a running together of the people occurred or took place or happened. It speaks of the formation of a mob by people running or rushing together. And they took Paul. It's used in conjunction with drew, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of drew. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to drew in the sense, and they took hold of or seized Paul. It may instead be understood in the sense of after they took hold of or after they seized Paul and drew him out of the temple, and they were dragging him outside the temple. Now you have to understand, this is outside of the inner courts of the temple. They had not been in the temple building. Only priests could enter the temple building, and these people were not priests. They were in the court which the Jewish people were permitted to enter. No Gentile could go in there, but it is an outside court. They had not been in the temple building, but in the courtyard outside the temple. And forthwith, the doors were shut, means and immediately, at once or right away, the doors leading from the outer courts to the inner courts were shut, were closed, or were locked. It does not, you should note, it does not say who closed the doors. Was it the mob? Could be. Or may it have been the Levites who were on guard duty at the temple that day? It might be. The fact is, we don't know. It doesn't make any difference to us. While they were attempting to kill Paul, how long was this going on, by the way? I don't know. Might have been longer than you'd want to been if you'd be Paul. Okay. The chief captain, you see, Jerusalem was occupied by Roman troops. The chief captain, the Roman captain, he's the chief officer of the Roman contingent stationed in Jerusalem, learned that a riot had started. And as they went about to kill him, oh, they're not playing around, are they? Tidings, that's an interesting word, isn't it? Came under the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. And transitions to the next thought. They, as they went about to kill him, is used in conjunction with came, and it's indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of came. And it's understood in the sense of while they were seeking to kill him. They refers to the persons in the mob who had seized Paul and dragged him out of the inner courts of the temple. Him, which refers to Paul, has been placed in a position of emphasis which literally reads, while they were seeking him to kill. Went about, suggests were seeking. What they were seeking to do was to kill Paul. We don't know how long this was going on, but they weren't going to get him killed that day, were they? Went about suggests were seeking. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band. Now, when I see the word band, I think of a group of musical instruments, including trombonists and people playing cornets, trumpets, and so on. That's not what a band is here. Tidings is a report, an announcement or news. Came means came up or ascended. Why did it come up? It went up because it went up to the Tower Antonia, which overlooked the temple area. It was the barracks and headquarters of the Roman soldiers occupying Jerusalem. According to Josephus, who is often given to exaggeration, there was a 115-foot tower located in the northwest corner of the fortress. The stairs mentioned in verse 35 led from the temple area to the castle or fortress. Unto the chief captain of the band is to the commander of a cohort. A cohort is 1/10 of a legion. A legion being about 6,000 soldiers. So a band or a cohort would have contained approximately 600 soldiers. The report stated that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. That's a bit exaggerated. It was only right there in the temple area. That all Jerusalem was stirred up. The word translated stirred up was also used in verse 27. What you have here is a mob scene with a mob attacking one person. The chief captain took many soldiers and rescued Paul from those who were beating him, who immediately took soldiers and centurions. Now notice, centurions is plural. That means that at least two centurions. And ran down unto them. So they ran down the stairs And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul, who refers to the chief captain. He immediately took soldiers, so he went too. Immediately suggests at once or without delay, took soldiers and centurions is used in conjunction with ran, indicating a fact in addition to ran. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of ran. Took means took with himself or took along, and what he took was soldiers and centurions. Now, you're familiar with the word century, meaning 100. Centurions were commanders of about 100 soldiers. Inasmuch as centurions is plural, he took at least 2 centurions and maybe more than 2. There would have been 6 there for 600 soldiers. And each one would have taken the 100 soldiers under his command. So did he take 2 centurions and 200 soldiers with him? Did he take 3 centurions and 300 soldiers with him? 4 centurions and 400 soldiers? And the answer is, we don't know, but we know he took centurions, plural. You have to go by what's there. You can't go by what you might have imagined or somebody else might have said. And ran down to them. They ran toward the mob. It suggests that they ran out of the Roman barracks, down the 2 flights of stairs to the ground level where the mob was beating Paul. The chief captain and the soldiers arrived at the scene as quickly as possible and intervened on behalf of Paul. Humanly speaking, you might say that they saved Paul's life. That's really not accurate. God is the one who was protecting Paul from being killed. Give God the credit. And transitions to what the mob did upon seeing the soldiers arriving on the scene. Now, the people were probably not armed, but the soldiers would have been. And the soldiers were used to battles. These people would not have been, most likely. When they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, it's used in conjunction with left, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before, or maybe at the same time as, the action of left. It may be understood in the sense of after they saw the chief captain and the soldiers. It may instead be understood in the sense of because they saw the chief captain and the soldiers. They left beating of Paul means they stopped or ceased beating Paul. There is no indication how seriously Paul may have been injured. But it should be noted that he was able to address the multitude standing in verse 40. So he wasn't all broken up. He might have had a bloody nose. He might have had a number of bruises. We don't really know. We don't know how long his pains continued. We're not told. So speculation is interesting but useless. The chief captain had bound Paul with 2 chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Well, you can understand that. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with 2 chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Then, suggests at that time. In the Greek text, the chief captain is the subject of took, of commanded, and of demanded. Came near is used in conjunction with took, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of took. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to took, or it may be understood in the sense of after he came near. The chief captain is the military tribune or commander of the 600 soldiers comprising the cohort. He immediately took charge of the situation. The chief captain took him, is the chief or the military tribune, arrested him, meaning arrested Paul. He also commanded him to be bound with 2 chains. It means he ordered him or ordered Paul to be bound with 2 chains, Why two? Well, I don't really know, but I'm guessing one on one wrist and one on the other wrist, so they could basically pull his arms out and he couldn't do anything to stop it. I don't really know that. I'm guessing. Furthermore, he demanded who he was and what he had done. Now, he's asking or inquiring from the mob, not from Paul himself, who he, meaning who Paul might be and what he had done. You see, he did something that you would understand. He assumed that Paul had caused the problem. Well, you can understand that. When he was unable to learn from the mob who Paul was or what he had done, he commanded that Paul be carried into the headquarters of the Roman troops. Some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And transitions to what happened next. In response to the chief captain's questions in verse 33, some cried one thing, some another among the multitude, which suggests some in the crowd were crying out or were shouting something, and some were crying out or shouting another thing or something else. And he couldn't figure out what happened. And transitions to the next thought. When he could not know the certainty of the tumult, it's used in conjunction with commanded, and its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of commanded. It's been translated as indicating time. It may instead be understood in the sense of because he was not able to know, to learn, or to ascertain, or to find out the certainty, meaning the truth, because of the clamor or noise. He, the chief captain, commanded or ordered him, meaning ordered Paul, to be carried, to be brought, or to be led into the castle, into the barracks or headquarters of the Roman soldiers. When Paul came to the steps, he had to be carried by the Roman soldiers because of the violence of the mob. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. When he came upon the stairs suggests when Paul came to or got to the steps or the flight of steps that led from the temple court into the Tower of Antonia. So it was means it happened or it came about. And what happened is that he was born of the soldiers, which means that he was carried by the soldiers. For the violence of the people is because of the force of the crowd. The crowd was apparently pressing forward and the soldiers were trying to protect Paul from the mob. The mob was screaming that he should be taken away and killed. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" 4 introduces the explanation of the reason the soldiers had to pick Paul up and carry him. The multitude of the people followed after, crying, meaning the large number or crowd, not large number of the crowd of the people was or kept calling or crying out or shouting, and what they were shouting was, "Away with him!" By which they meant, "Kill him!" And then we see something strange. What if you'd been Paul? Would you want to speak to the crowd? I'd probably want lightning to come down on them and get them all, kill them all. That's my old nature, not my new sinless nature. You know how it is. I'm not sure what you would think, but I'm sure that I wouldn't have handled it as well as Paul did. As Paul was being led into the barracks, he asked to speak with the chief captain, who was surprised that Paul could speak Greek. And as Paul was being led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" and introduces what happened next. As Paul was to be led into the castle, it's used in conjunction with said, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of said, so it's understood in the sense of while he was about to be led into the fortress, meaning into the headquarters or the barracks of the Roman soldiers. In the Greek text, Paul is the subject of said. Paul said unto the chief captain, suggest Paul says to the commander or tribune, and it's been translated as a historical present. I didn't read that correctly. Paul says, it's a present tense actually, but he says it, translated as a historical present, which means as a past. What Paul said is, may I speak unto thee? He's asking, is it permitted for me to say something to you? Who said? And he, meaning the chief captain or the commander, said or replied. His reply was, canst thou speak Greek? Do you know Greek? The chief captain had incorrectly assumed that Paul was an Egyptian who had caused trouble previously. Apparently they had some dealings with this Egyptian. Verse 38 forms a question whose structure in the Greek text indicates that a yes answer is expected. Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? You can understand why he was assuming something here bad about Paul, thinking that he was the leader of 4,000 men who were murderers. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It's used to introduce questions and it implies impatience. It means then. Art not thou that Egyptian implies you are the Egyptian, are you not? And expects the answer, yes, you are. Thou is you singular. It's emphatic and refers to Paul, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers. Describes the particular Egyptian the commander had in mind. It is the one who before these days disturbed, meaning troubled, upset, or raised a revolt, and led out into the desert 4,000 men of a group known as the Assassins. It is the name of the most extreme group among Judean nationalists. They were quite hostile to Rome, and they did not hesitate to assassinate their political opponents. Sounds like what some of our politicians are facing. Paul identified himself and urged the chief captain to permit him to address the people. But Paul said, I'm a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a city of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. But transitions from the commander's question to Paul's answer, and it may instead be understood in the sense of and, now or then. Paul said, introduces Paul's reply to the commander. I, it's emphatic, and it refers to Paul himself. I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. Mean has a different definition than one that he's very cantankerous, all right? So I'm a Jewish man. Man's a generic term for human being or person. Of Tarsus, of Cilicia, a city, a citizen of no insignificant or of no unimportant city. It indicates that Tarsus was a significant or an important city. And transition from Paul's statement about himself to his request to the commander in the sense of now. I beseech thee, as I am begging you, and suggests, please, suffer me to speak unto the people is permit or allow me to speak to the people. It had to be one of the most unusual things the commander had ever heard in his life. Someone wanting to address a mob which had just been trying to beat him to death. Would you or I desire to speak to a group which had been trying to beat us to death? Well, I don't know about you, but I sincerely doubt it. Does this not show that I, and perhaps you also, still have a long way to go in our spiritual maturity and growth? I expect that it does. I'd have been wanting the soldiers to go out and kill them all. Paul wanted to see them all saved. I'm not sure that I was or am spiritual enough to have done what Paul did. But he did it. In Acts 21:40-22:21, we find Paul's defense before the mob. Paul was given permission to address the mob, and after he quieted the crowd, he spoke to them in Hebrew. Now, he was speaking to the soldier in Greek. Now, he's speaking in Hebrew. It was likely Aramaic, which was an offshoot of Hebrew. Although his remarks to the crowd continue through 22:21, we'll leave our consideration of chapter 22 until our next session. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and transitions to the commander's response to Paul's request in the sense of noun. When he had given him license is used in conjunction with beckoned, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of beckoned in the sense of after he, meaning after the commander gave him, meaning gave Paul license, or after he permitted, allowed, or let him. It may instead be understood in the sense of he gave him license, or he permitted him, or he allowed him, or he let him address the people. In the Greek text, Paul's subject of beckoned. Stood on the stairs is used in conjunction with beckoned, and its tense indicates a state of being. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to beckoned. It may instead be understood in the sense of having stood, or standing, or while standing on the steps, the flight of stairs, leading from the temple area into the fortress. Paul beckoned with the hand unto the people as Paul motioned or made a sign to the people and implies to be quiet. And transitions to what happened next in the sense of then or now. When there was made a great silence is used in conjunction with spake, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of spake. It's been translated as indicating time in the sense of after there was or after there became a great silence or quiet. It may instead be understood in the sense of a great silence or quiet occurred. A great silence happened or came to pass. He spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue as he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, introduces what Paul said on this occasion. The content of what Paul said is found in Acts 22, 1 through 20. Saying is used in conjunction with spake, indicating a fact in addition to spake or time. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of spake. If showing a fact in addition to spake, it's understood in the sense of and was saying. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while or while he was saying. Now, if you want to know what Paul was saying to the mob, you're going to have to come back again next time, because we're not going to deal with it today. Or you can read ahead in chapter 22. That'll get you the idea, because that's what we're going to look at. Although God allowed what Paul experienced in this chapter, he also protected Paul throughout it. You need, and I need, to remember that God is always in control of every situation in life, even though it may not seem like it. Is God in control of what's going on in my life right now? Yes. I don't even know what's going on in my life other than I'm standing here and teaching Bible. Is God in control of your life right now? Yes. Will he be in control of everything that occurs in your life this afternoon? Yes. He could stop you even if you're trying to be disobedient. He could stop you if he wants. He's stopped a lot of people over the years. Is God in control of what's going on in our country today? Well, like what's going on or don't like what's going on, and I fall into that second category, God is still in control of it. God is in control of some of the really stupid things that are being done by our politicians. I don't have to understand that. I just know it to be true because the Bible indicates it. So here's Paul. Though beaten, he was still able to address this mob. I don't know how badly he was hurt, but apparently he was not all broken up. Well, I trust that's helpful. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2 tonight in our evening service. We're going to be starting that at 5 o'clock, and I trust that you'll be able to be with us. I've decided to go through the book of Revelation, but to do Daniel as an introduction to it. So that's what we're doing, at least at this point in time, one chapter per evening service. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that you have given us this privilege of coming and being here in thy house this morning, and we thank you for the Apostle Paul's ministry, and we thank you for giving us this text in the Bible. And I pray that you'll help us to profit much from it. Meet the needs of these dear people who've come today. Bless them, provide for them, protect them, help them to grow and mature as believers. And if they're not yet saved, may they understand the gospel and trust Jesus as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.